The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Oh, man.
Coach of the Miami Dolphins heading into year number two.
What is that old man for?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what that old man for, Laird. Sir. It is Laird. You're the best dressed coach. You came in here looking like Johnny Miami. Great outfit. I just don't see any coaches like that. So I was going to go, oh, man, this guy, look at him, Miami. Coach's money? That's what I was coming in.
Can't hide money.
That's right.
Not trying to. Spent a lot of life poor. Yeah.
That was Mike McDaniel yesterday. The best response I've ever heard to Can't Hide Money. I've been hearing it from this guy for 5.5 years, and I never even considered that.
Right.
Great way to lean into it. Accept it, not trying to. Spend a whole lot of life poor.
Yeah, that's love right. It. Not trying to. But if you want to live up to that, then you got to start dressing like that, too. You know, you got to start showing
I
us.
I save my money.
Yeah, you
say
do.
Can't hide money, but not as it relates to my wardrobe.
No. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're the control room agrees, we hear, that you're right. You
hey,
can hide
room.
It.
Select a finger. Your choice.
Yeah, that'll wait, control room. That's the way. Get them. But there's other things we know where you can't hide money. So we know Chateau de Florio, the cars you have. So you're not hiding
keep
in those
going,
departments.
Keep going.
The barn.
Yeah. We're here.
We are here.
Scouting Combine. This is our last day here. We'll be back in our regular positions tomorrow morning unless we can convince Matt Casey to just run 2 hours of today's
show. Man, they're working
instead.
Us here at NBC. They just drive us into the ground.
Live for 3 hours on Peacock on SiriusXM 85. Apologies in advance to the folks watching on Sky Sports NFL. Go ahead and insert the disclaimer at the bottom. Strong language used in this program with the fancy P-R-O-G-R-A-M-M-E. Because it's inevitable at some point over the next 3 hours.
Well, it is. I mean, we're going to have some tape interviews that are on here, and I did throw out a few four-letter words today.
They've been bleeped.
They bleeped already. Bleeped. So there you go, Sky. They've been bleeped already for you.
But that doesn't cover the live content, and there will be plenty of live content. And we had a live exchange with a local resident on our way back from brunch.
Yeah.
Lunch, whatever it was. We
right.
thought we were getting breakfast. We got lunch. Either way, we were hungry, and we would have eaten anything at that point after taping interviews all morning. So guy approaches us on the street and accosts us.
Yelling at us from about 20 yards away, first off, right?
Right. And we didn't really know which way it was going to go.
Right.
Now, I had no qualms about any physical altercation because I'm with you, and I trust that you'd be able to take care of any situation.
I recall correctly,
I think he was actually shorter and skinnier than me, so I would have liked my chances too.
Right.
But he had a problem with us.
Yeah.
Because why do we always dog? And I thought it was going to be Tua. I thought it was going to be Kirk Cousins.
A J word came out. I was like, oh, here goes Jalen Hurts.
Jameis Winston. Yeah. Jameis Winston. I forgot about Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you have any issue with Jalen Hurts, but Jameis Winston and the guy was convinced that if Jameis Winston had been signed here instead of Phillip Rivers, the Colts would have been in Super Bowl contention.
Yes.
He didn't go all the way and say Colts would have won a Super Bowl.
Right.
He did stop short and say Super Bowl contention, but he was very upset that we don't have more faith in Jameis Winston.
Yeah, we've liked Jameis Winston. I feel like we've stuck up for him.
We didn't bench him last year for Andy Dalton.
That's right. I certainly did not think that here we are 2023, that was going to be the thing I get yelled at or we get yelled at for on the side of the road. But it was funny and it was in good fun. And, he made us chuckle as we walked back here in the building.
All right, Pete tells me we only have about 20 minutes for this segment, which I guess is a nice way of saying shut up and move on.
Let's go. We got some stuff to hit on
here. Discuss. One of the issues that was kind of creating a buzz here today, because we were going to actually have him on the program.
Sure.
Jalen Carter, the Georgia defensive tackle, one of the top prospects in this year's draft, has had a couple of misdemeanor charges issued against him relating to a fatal crash that happened just in the aftermath of the national championship game. Was it that night?
It was maybe that 2-3 nights later, right? I think they had their little victory parade or whatever, and it was on that same day, about 2 or 3 days later, if I remember.
The report is he was present at a crash that killed a teammate and a staffer, misled police about it, Carter first told police he was nearly a mile away when the fatal crash happened. Then he said he was behind the other vehicle, could see its taillights, and that he was alongside the car when it crashed. There is speculation that it was a racing type of a situation. Again, there are two misdemeanor charges that have been issued.
Right.
Kirby Smart, the head coach at Georgia, issued a statement saying the charges announced today are deeply concerning, especially as we are still struggling to cope with the devastating loss of two members of our community. We will continue to cooperate fully with the authorities while supporting these families and assessing what we can learn from this horrible tragedy. That was issued earlier today by Kirby Smart. And the official word from the folks here at the NFL in charge of the combine was that Jalen Carter didn't make it in for podium or interviews because he was still, along with five other players, in the medical facility. So I wouldn't have spoken if I were him. If he were my son, my brother, my cousin, my client, anybody I cared about or had any duty to, I would have said, don't talk.
Yeah.
I don't know that anybody knew about it. If this hadn't landed today and he had shown up, I didn't know about it. I didn't know there was any issue there. I don't know if any of the reporters who would have been questioning him at the podium did, but it's whatever the explanation, whatever the reason, the best thing for him to do is say nothing about it publicly until this all gets resolved.
Yeah.
And if there's any responsibility there, if he was involved, if he did do something, it is just two misdemeanor charges. The sooner he accepts responsibility, the better, if there's responsibility to be accepted.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, listen, it's big news. Of course, here, just in the football world, right, this is a guy that I think everybody's looking at and goes a top 10 pick, maybe top 5. I mean, he's special. He probably would have been a top 15 or 20 pick if he left school or could have left school last year, right? This is a horrible, you know, tragedy. There's no question about that. Man, I feel bad for, yeah, that Georgia community. Man, the young man, the offensive lineman who was killed in the crash, he's a guy that went to a high school in New Jersey up where I grew up. So that hit home hard. It's a tough situation. You know, we'll see where this goes. Hopefully it can get situated. The one thing I want to say, just because I got some questions asked about it, right, when we were kind of off air by some other cities and they're, you know, following teams or whatever else. And, you know, let's just, again, I'm not trying to condone the actions here. I'm definitely not. But 21 years old, young person.
I know, people do dumb things.
People
do dumb things.
I know.
And but for the grace of God, look.
They get away with it.
Right, right. You do that thing and there isn't a fatal crash. You do that thing and something bad doesn't happen. And you got lucky.
That's what I'm saying.
Sometimes the planets line up in a way that something happens,
right,
and there is real accountability. It doesn't matter if you were just 21 and dumb.
No.
There's still accountability.
I understand it. You're right. All I'm saying is, yeah, I think there's a lot of us out there that are 21 that race friends down roads or did stupid crap like that. And, yeah, you get older and you go, what the hell was I thinking doing that? How stupid was that?
Well,
he did not dodge that bullet. And then the young kid, you know, I know there's reports out there allegedly he, you know, lied or misled the police and all that, right? And sure, but you know, again, I think that it's a guy that's looking at it and going, oh, my gosh, this is going to ruin my future, my life. So, you know, am I shocked to hear that maybe he didn't tell the whole truth and everything there, which is a mistake? Again, I'm not condoning it. But, you know, 21 years old and a lot of things going on in your life, you do make mistakes. And I think everybody's got to remember what they were when they were 20 and 21.
One of the reasons your car insurance stays at a certain level until you turn 25, your brain isn't fully developed until you're 25. You don't fully understand the connection between actions and consequences. And that's just the way we are as a biological organism.
Yeah.
And I saw my son go through that transition. Now he's 26. He thinks differently than he did when he was 20 or 21. 18 years old, you're not thinking that way. You're not connecting conduct and consequence. You don't have that same, I should be careful, I should think about this, maybe this isn't the best thing for me to do.
Yeah.
And we're always evolving, we're always growing, and it's unfortunate when there is one of these things that a guy does that is risky and it's reflective. We're not making excuses for him.
No,
the reality is, there was a serious outcome,
right?
And
it was a tragedy.
And
it's tragic,
and it's time to take responsibility.
And he's gonna have
to be
responsible.
To be taken.
That's right.
If you know whatever the facts are,
right?
If he is responsible, if he misled police, if it was a racing situation, the smart thing to do, the best thing to do, is take responsibility.
That's
and
right.
Not, and not fight.
Yeah,
you don't want that cloud to hang over you any longer
exactly.
than it needs to. If there's ultimately going to be a price to pay and accountability to be experienced, the sooner you do it, the better.
Yeah, I mean, professionally, personally, both areas, you don't want that cloud over you. And then, you know, there's the compassion part is that, you did lose, you know, two individuals, which is, so that's where you'd like to see him be accountable for the victims' families, too. I'm sure they'd like to have some answers and things like that. So we'll see where this goes. It's certainly going to be a story to follow. You know, and of course, all the questions are going to be, can he be trusted? Is he going to get drafted in the same place now? The one thing I want to ask you, Mike, that just, again, I don't know, but you know, you and I, we question things. That's what we're here to do. Is it a deliberate time drop? Was it a deliberate, like, smear campaign? It's just kind of funny that here we are sometime after this whole accident, and it's right before you're going to talk at the NFL Combine where it breaks. That's where it just seemed a little off or weird.
But actually, if they really wanted to set him up and cause a problem for him, they would have told a reporter about it and maybe had the reporter show up and ask some questions about it and maybe get him to say something that would conflict with something else he said. So
yeah, I hear you there.
If they were really trying to cause a problem for him, they actually did him a favor by having it drop before he was in a position where he was going to talk.
Okay.
And then you shut it down.
Yeah.
And the team's now can fully investigate it. He can deal with whatever the aftermath
He's
is.
Still
and
here,
do the right thing.
Right,
still here. There
were some teams last night,
right? And I'm sure
he'll meet with a lot of teams.
Well, and now
today,
the question is, what is he going to say about it?
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Let's pivot to
the totally
name,
opposite part of the world.
The name that continues to dominate the NFL news headlines. Aaron Rodgers did his first interview since emerging from a locked closet, wherever that happened, however long he was there, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. Here he is on something called the Aubrey Marcus podcast. I'm not aware of Aubrey Marcus.
The lifestyle only thing
that,
guy.
The only thing that stands out to me, he qualifies to be a backup quarterback in the NFL because so many of those guys, you can flip their last name and their first name. I mean, he could be Marcus Aubrey. He could be Aubrey Marcus, so he could be a backup quarterback for the Cowboys once Rush Cooper moves on. Here's Aaron Rodgers talking to not Marcus Aubrey, but Aubrey Marcus.
I'm not looking for somebody to tell me what the answer is. All the answers are right inside me, and I touched many of them, and definitely the feelings on both sides during the darkness, and I'm thankful for that time. But, it's a very, there's a finality to the decision, and I don't make it lightly. I don't want to drag anybody around. Look, I'm answering questions about it because I get asked about it. I'm talking about it because it's important to me. If you don't like it and you think it's drama, you think I'm being a diva or whatever, then just tune it out. Mm-hmm. It's fine. Mm-hmm. But this is my life. It's important to me. And I'll make a decision soon enough and then we'll go down that road and be really excited about it.
I have a very important observation to make before we get into the meat of this.
Go ahead.
I have a pet peeve.
Right. They're dressed the same.
I'm not a gas log guy.
No, you're not a gas
log.
You need a real fire?
You can't have this great-looking brick and stone, and you make this the centerpiece of your conversation, and it's not a real fire. don't play that game. Put real logs in there. Put real logs in there. Oh, and they're barefoot, too. And there's nothing like being barefoot and having dirty feet. Yeah, that's not good either. Maybe the gas log was the distraction for the dirty feet. I don't know. Maybe I don't know. But anyway, I'm not a gas log guy, especially when you have a setup that nice and you're going to make it like, hey, everybody, check out our fire. It's not a real fire. I got a problem.
Apparently do. You, Mr. Fake Rock from Florida?
The fake Florida rock. Yeah, come on down. Come on down and check out the fake rock.
Okay, I hear you. Hey, and listen. You know, the one thing I appreciate about Aaron Rodgers is he is well thought out. You know, maybe too well thought out at times. We know that. We've always talked about his smartness and all that.
I do a lot of thinking, but you don't see me opening up and having public deliberations. Nobody cares about mine.
Right.
And we only care about his because he feels compelled to share them with us.
Well,
I mean, that's a problem. We talk about this all the time.
Yeah.
They want to have it both ways.
Yeah.
They want the attention, but they don't want the criticism that goes along with it.
Right.
Hey, everybody, look at me. What the hell are you looking at?
Yeah.
And that's just the latest chapter in this path for Rodgers.
Well, I don't disagree with you totally there. You know, but I do think the other side of it just with Rodgers. And listen, I love Aaron Rodgers. He's arguably one of my favorite players in the history of football. You know, does this stuff wear me out to a degree? Sure, you've heard me say that. It does. I still have a lot of respect for some of the things he says and does. I do think, you know, there's a relationship here with what he's doing with Aubrey Marcus and all that, who is a guy that is into mental health and you living the right way and, you know, living the life the right way to be healthy that way. My wife, I know, follows him on Instagram, right? So I kind of knew who he was through that. And I appreciate that Aaron Rodgers shares his problems and his thought process, because there's a lot of, you know, we know male ego men who they don't ever do that. So all that's
that.
Good.
I fully support that.
And also, you know, listen, I know it. I don't want him to drag this out either. I don't, because it's not fair to the Packers. It's not fair to other quarterbacks. It's not fair to himself in some ways, too. But at the same time, you know, it's hard for me to put myself in his shoes. I do know one thing. He is a tough decision, obviously. And I honestly didn't think it was going to take this long. But, man, he's really on the fence, which I don't know if necessarily is a good thing either.
Well, I don't think he agrees with what the rest of us would reasonably say the time frame is for letting the Packers know. Number one, is he going to play at all? Number two, is he going to play for them? Because if there is going to be a change in venue for Aaron Rodgers' career, now is the time. And, you know, as this goes by, Chris, I keep coming back to that angle that we've been discussing. Maybe he thinks, I can come back whenever I want, that teams will be ready to absorb my contract and detach from whoever their QB1 is once they know I'm available. And if there's any tension, disagreement, resistance by the Packers to let him go where he wants to go, the best thing he can do is just wait or retire.
Right.
And then unretire. And he specifically mentioned Brett Favre retiring and then unretiring. And it just was kind of a random
unconscious
mention.
Thought.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, yeah. Is he thinking, I keep coming back to that, is he thinking that I am better suited to getting my way without having to be the bad guy if I would simply retire now and unretire later? And I can't help but wonder whether or not that's the path that gets him what he wants without having to create some sort of a public fight with the Packers.
Yeah, I mean, hey, listen, I don't know. I hear you on that angle. I certainly think that as well. I think that's where I get back and do one, hey, I mean, you know, you're going to become, you know, enemy number one of the public. People are going to continue to call you a diva and all that and stuff, and they're not going to tune you out. So he's going to have to deal with that, which is, you know, I don't think he wants that either. And then, two, I think, you know, the big point to me and what you're saying, and if he did do that route, would just be that, you know, you can end up, you wait too long, you retire, then decide to come back in June or whatever. You might have not the same options. Or that team that you maybe had your eye on that was on your radar, you know, they couldn't maybe make moves the right way in the offseason to improve their team. So now, oh, hey, I'm the quarterback of this team and we're ready to go. Because there's no team out here that needs him right now that's just ready, except for maybe the Jets.
Conspiracy theory.
Yeah, right.
What if he makes it known privately through his agency to the team, stick with what you have.
Right.
Stick with Sam Howell as QB1, right? Because there may be a development later in the year. Now, I don't know that he'd want to commit to that. But I just think that there, when you look at the confidence that has to border on arrogance and delusion for a successful NFL player. And clearly Rodgers qualifies for having that mindset.
Yeah.
I could see him reacting to our take that you need to let everyone know what you're going to do now by saying, I don't need to let anyone know anything.
Yeah.
I'm Aaron Rodgers.
Sure.
If I decide to come back in June, I'm Aaron Rodgers. July, I'm Aaron Rodgers. August, September, whenever, they'll wait for me. So that's the way to let the Packers know they can pivot to Jordan Love and then wait, come back. Now, for those of us in the know, we realize what Rodgers would be doing if it comes to that, but I can't help but, you know, when I saw that mention of Favre that didn't seem to be logically connected to the point he was making.
Yeah.
You know, and if only to say, and he didn't articulate it this way, but his point would be Favre rushed to make his decision and then regretted it. He's going to take the time so he doesn't regret it, which cuts against everything I've just said. But I just, you know, if he goes ahead and retires next few weeks, he can say, well, I felt pressure.
Right.
And then the opportunity comes up in July or August to join a team. And you know what he does if he does that, folks? He avoids the offseason program without being pressured. Oh, you know, you're not all in. Well, I was retired then.
Well, that's where I was going to go next. Like that to me would be the other reason why you don't want to do this. Right? You know, again, one, hey, like you said, hey, I'm Aaron Rodgers. Well, you know, again, for the guy that I think is, you know, unbelievable and a top 3-4 quarterback of all time, right? He's not that anymore. He's not Aaron Rodgers. Like, hey, 5, 6, 8 years ago,
You know, yeah, teams would have waited. If he put out the word like you're talking about, they'd go, damn, we'll just sit here and wait. Fine, he's so damn good, it doesn't matter. He'll carry us to wherever we need to go. But, you know, we can't say that anymore. I don't think he's that player. He's still really damn good, you know, but he's entered that era of needs a little support system more than he used to, right? He's not going to be able to do Mahomes, Josh Allen, get on my back, don't worry, I'll just get it done, guys, don't worry. Like, it's not in his toolbox anymore. So between that, and then I also think of, like, something you've brought up a million times, that, damn, I mean, do we really want to do the retire and then come back in June and July, and then, you know, you might not have camaraderie and timing and rhythm with your receivers, and now it's learning the new offense. And to me, that would just work against him ultimately. And that's where, even as a fan of him, I'm, you know, like I was saying at the start, I think it suits him here to make a decision somewhat fairly quick as well, so he can align the stars the way he wants most, you know, for a new team or even the Packers.
He said that while he was in the darkness retreat, he envisioned what it would be like if he retired. He envisioned what it would be like if he didn't retire. I think one thing he needs to envision is being traded to the Jets, showing up for his introductory press conference with the Jets, and being asked, will you be at the offseason program?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, I don't plan to. Well, why not? Why won't you be there? Aren't you committed to the team? I mean, that's the tension point. When you go to a completely new team and you know no one there and you're getting $60 million for this year, it becomes much more delicate and difficult to just shut everything down and I'll be there for the mandatory minicamp if that, and I'll be there for training camp, and that's all we need, especially because the folks in New York who write the columns and who fill the airwaves with chatter can very easily make the connection from Patrick Mahomes last year, what he did above and beyond the call and
sure.
what meant for the Chiefs without Tyreek Hill, and what Aaron Rodgers didn't do above and beyond the call without Devontae Adams, and how it kept the Packers from ultimately getting to the playoffs. Because if everyone gets comfortable a few weeks earlier, maybe just 1 week earlier, the Packers
yeah,
are in
they
the
make
tournament.
It. Right. Yeah, I don't disagree
with
you.
And he's going to get pressed on that.
100%, you know, 100%. And in a place like New York, if he tries to pull that move off, he's asking to be vilified and hated by the fans. You know, that perception that you're talking about and all that, I mean, like you said, it's real. It's out there. It's on everybody's radar now. So if he did that again with, wait, a young team with young receivers still, Garrett Wilson, Elijah Moore, hey, you got to get that going. They got a young tight end they drafted in the, you know, from Ohio State, Ruckert, last year in the draft. So, you know, if you want to do those things, that's, again, where I get into it. Yeah, you're causing problems to yourself. And I'd like to think I know he's smarter than that. I know. You know, you know that too. But, yeah, will, you know, ego, narcissism, whatever else creep into this conversation, which I don't think it will. I think this is why one of the reasons he deals with this Aubrey Marcus and tries to not let those things infiltrate his brain. It's a hard thing to do that when you are Aaron Rodgers. But, yeah, I'm going to be interested to go. I'm going to bet, though, we get something here in the next week. If I had to bet money, I'm going to say that he does it.
He said soon enough.
Yeah.
And free agency starts on March 15, but – the scouting combine includes, among other things, these meetings and discussions. And Derek Carr is here meeting with multiple teams. Aaron Rodgers is holding everything up. And either he's not going to make a decision or he is. And if he is, he needs to make it sooner than later so these other teams can move on. And when he says, if you don't like it and you think it's drama and you think I'm being a diva or whatever, just tune it out. Another example of the fact that they listen. They have rabbit ears.
Sure.
He wouldn't say that if he hadn't seen the blowback from so many people who are just fed up. They've had enough. Enough of the drama, enough of the diva. We don't need to know the inner details of how you make your thought process, how you make your decision, darkness retreat, ayahuasca, whatever. And again, we only react to it because he talks about it. If he wasn't talking about it, there'd be no – if he just would disappear, if he would have fallen off the map
right.
when they lost to the – Lions week 18 and didn't do McAfee's show every week, didn't do the Marcus Aubrey Marcus podcast, didn't speak so openly about, we wouldn't know anything about it.
No.
And then he just either retires or he doesn't retire and there'd be nothing to talk about, because that's the thing that people who don't like the scrutiny don't realize. They're the ones who give the conversation oxygen.
Sure.
by talking about it.
I know.
Otherwise, what would we say?
I know.
Maybe we'd check a box and say, well, still haven't heard anything from Aaron Rodgers, but what more could we say than that?
Well, that's why sometimes I'm like, I dial it back to not be critical, because I do like that he's like this. I mean, I'd rather him be like this than like Johnny Robot, who never tells us anything and gives us boring answers and there's no approach. I understand this maybe approaches on overkill a little bit. And then, you know, I think the other thing, too, is in like the NFL community, we know that. Like the NFL community, there's no coaches, no GMs, nobody in the front office that even is following Aubrey Marcus. They think that, you know how football people are. They think that's like hocus pocus bullcrap, right? They don't even – they're just too old school and straight line to think that. And I think with all this stuff too, I think one thing I know, I talk to people around the NFL. It's like, oh, Rodgers, man, he seems like he's going crazy or he's off the deep end with some of this stuff. And I don't think that's that at all. I think there's a fine line here where he's trying to let his thoughts out and help people. But yes, when it's all the time and then you're always talking about yourself and your own situation, it can get taken and misconstrued the wrong way.
There's
to a degree.
There's a point where the classic old-school football coach or GM will look at all this stuff, ayahuasca, darkness retreat, Aubrey Marcus,
and they think,
contemplation, everything's out in the open, and they'll say he's not good enough anymore to justify.
Deal with that, right.
A couple of years ago, yes.
Sure.
Now where he is, we're not going to deal with that. We don't want all that other stuff that goes along with it. And I don't look at Aaron Rodgers as a guy who's going to have the Tom Brady effect. I don't think he instantly sells all the tickets. I don't think he instantly sells all the jerseys. Maybe for some teams he will, but I don't know it's the same automatic. He brings a polarizing
not
dynamic.
That way.
It's one of the reasons why Tom Brady is obsessed with never saying anything that will piss anyone off.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers abandoned that a couple of years ago, and he took that heel turn on a variety of topics. He's not going to have that same unifying force that a Brady would have if Brady decided to go to this team. And so I think that's part of it, too. I just think at the end of the day, there may not be, as we've been saying,
as many suitors.
Really
I know. It's. I'm with you.
$60 million.
Right. What's it going to take to get him?
How long is he going to last?
Right.
How good is he right now?
Are we going to be in this conversation next year where we're held hostage by him? Is he going to come back and play one more year?
Does he create more trouble than he's worth? That's the thing. They'll deal with a lot of distractions from great players.
Yeah.
We were talking about Lawrence Taylor last night.
Right.
Giants dealt with a lot because he was one of the best defensive players in the history
ever.
Of the game.
Right.
And if you're not that good, you're not going to deal with all that other stuff. All right. We're going to deal with some of the interviews that we did today. Here's what we have coming on today's show.
Big day.
Eagles GM Howie Roseman.
Oh, wait till you see that, guys. He is all over Florio. It's going to be good.
He's not predicting. It's on tape. Bengals coach Zach Taylor. Falcons GM Terry Fontenot. Live on set will be Panthers head coach Frank Reich. Vikings coach Kevin O'Connell. And a bunch of pass rushers. Tyree Wilson, Miles Murphy, Lucas Van Ness, Will Anderson Jr., Andre Carter II, and Brian Brzee. That's coming up today.
And we did see Dan Campbell in the hallway, and I told him, let's go, Lions. Kick the crap out of Florio's Vikings. I'm rooting for you hard. He loved it.
We had a great conversation with Dan Campbell until Chris says, yeah, and go beat the Vikings.
Yeah. Kick their
Campbell's
ass.
Campbell's a great guy. I've heard great things about him.
Of course.
Very well respected. Great leader. Getting the job done for the Lions. All right, we'll be getting the job done over the course of the next 2.5 hours. We'll be back with some of the draft prospects when PFT Live from the Scouting Combine continues right after this.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
For the world's greatest athletes.
This is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again!
Goal for the United States! Unbelievable! And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics, this summer on NBC and streaming on Peacock.
Here we are at the Scouting Combine talking to the pass rushers, and right now, Alabama edge rusher Will Anderson Jr. Welcome. Great to see you.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we're glad to have you.
Right? You know, it's funny. We see the guys standing there before they come up,
right.
And you're the first one that seemed really anxious to come up here and talk to us. Rest of them are just kind of like standing there. You're ready to go.
He was ready. He made eye contact, right? He was like, I'm gonna show these guys who I am right here.
Yeah, for me, because I have a degree in communication, so like for me, this is kind of like my area of expertise a little bit.
Right.
So. I love it.
All right, so you're feeling like, hey, I'm Johnny Professional behind the mic here, okay? You're not taking my job yet, okay?
No, we'll see.
In a few years. Maybe you probably will. Walking in, he smells good. We said that. Smells like money. And and then the Gucci sandals walking in. I mean, Nick Saban, like, you wear Gucci sandals around the facility?
Look, let me tell you something. This is just some chill, relaxed, comfortable footwear.
I got you.
I decided to slip on this morning.
We're just going to have some fun with you.
The reality, though, with Saban, we know how stern he can be. And all that said, he gushes about you. What did you do to get on his good side? Because you're one of the few that seems to end up there.
Yeah, so for me, it was just going in, keeping my head down and working. And I wanted to earn the respect from not just him, but everybody in the building and the players, so everybody. And I think I did that, and I think he respected me a lot. I came in, I was committed to the standard, to the culture that he had built, and I wanted to uphold that standard and that culture so much. Because once I'm committed to something, I'm all in. Like, if it'd be selfish of me, I know what's right from wrong to, not correct somebody else on doing it. And I think that's what he respected me about. I wasn't scared to step on people's toes, and I wasn't scared to get in people's butt if I needed to.
Right.
I mean,
right.
What a quote. I don't ever think there's a perfect player, but that guy is the ultimate competitor. I mean, if Nick Saban says that about you, you're doing something right, my friend.
Man. All right, so give us a good Nick Saban, story. What's the best time he just cussed you out? And then do you got, like, a funny other side we don't see from Nick Saban every now and then?
So for me, I wouldn't say I always did everything perfect,
right.
But, like, it was – I never really just got, like, cussed out.
Yeah.
Not from him. But from my position coach, Sal Cesari, differently. Well, Coach Saban, he always just like, 31, come on, man. And when I started graduating from 31 to Will, then I knew.
That's when you knew you got his respect?
So I remember. So it was my freshman year, and the whole fall camp, he was calling me 31, 31, 31.
Right.
And I walked out one day, and we was getting ready to go through walkthrough, and he was like, what's up, Will? And my little freshman me was like, you just called me Will?
Yeah.
Like, he knows my name?
Right.
Oh, crap. So that was just like a funny story of like, how that transpires. But it was cool. It was fun.
Yeah, cool.
I see that you have 5 sisters, and they're all older than you.
Yeah.
And you're the baby. What was that like growing up?
Well, I think we should take sisters out and say 5 moms.
Yeah. I hear that. I got an older daughter who's like a second mom to my son. I understand that.
They were all bossy. I mean, it came with its pros and cons. For me, just being in the house with all of them, some people think of it a little differently, but my sisters all played sports. So they weren't your typical, like, girly girl sisters.
Sure.
They were more a little stern, a little firm.
Yeah,
like.
Right.
After a bad game or something, you need to get your act together.
So they'd give it to you. So you were conditioned for saving already.
Yeah, so they made it known, like, hey, like, get your stuff together. So,
right.
But it was fun growing up, Like, we were really tight family, staying up late, joking, having fun with my parents, and, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
So it was fun.
All right, you grew up in Georgia. How the hell did you end up at Alabama?
Good question. Georgia, I just don't think they didn't know how they wanted to use me in the defense.
Right.
But Alabama was just like, we're just going to throw you out there. And whatever we see you good at, we're just going to place you everywhere. And that's kind of how it worked out. Like, they seen I could do a little bit of everything. And they molded me and they shaped me and they got me ready to play all those different positions.
Well, like Georgia, you think like they weren't sure about how big you were? Like, were you not thick enough at that point?
Yeah,
I was a little skinny.
So I was probably like 225 coming out of high school.
Sure.
So I was a little smaller than most of the recruits that were coming out.
Right, right.
Was there any thought given whatsoever, Will, to sitting out the bowl game and just keeping yourself healthy and ready for the draft?
Oh, no. I mean, if that was the case, I would have sat out the whole season because it's just like with football, that all of those things are going to come. But if you play fast, you do things the right way, you pray the right way, then you don't have to worry about those things. And for me, from a leader standpoint, I have been preaching like the standard, the culture, how to do things the right way, and it'd be selfish of me and hypocritical of me not to withstand on that and stand 10 toes on everything I've been saying.
Yeah, Saban, you said like they experimented with you. So tell us kind of the process there. Were you doing like some stand-up linebacker and stuff like that?
Yeah, most definitely. So they had me a little bit standing up, playing a little bit of four-eye,
right,
inside, dropping in coverage.
Yeah.
And Coach Saban was like, he can do all of it. Yeah. And that's what I love so much. Like, Coach Saban trusted me. He had confidence in me. And that gave me confidence, like, to go out there and do my job.
All right. So then off of that, when did it become like, oh, shit, I'm an awesome pass rusher? Like, when did it become like, okay, I'm kind of the man in this department?
Kind of going into from my the end of my freshman year going into my sophomore year. Like, the Florida game, my freshman year, and then after that, it just clicked for me. Like, the game slowed down a little bit. I could catch up. I could read, like, keys and everything like that. And it started coming natural, and that's when it just took off.
Yeah. I know you've got the communications degree, and you're intrigued by the media, but the way you explained your decision to play in the bowl game, I'm sitting here thinking, this guy could be a coach one of these days.
Yeah. This is
you're going to have some options.
Yeah. You got your act together, for sure.
Appreciate
it. And you got a great personality, you do. And I can see why teams love you, let alone I watched you enough on the field to go, damn, they should love you.
Appreciate it.
I know that. All right, so we always love to ask, you know, especially a guy like you, playing in the SEC, which is the king of college football, playing at Alabama, where you're kind of the king as well. Best player you played against? Best player that you saw at your time in Alabama that was on your team? Yeah, putting the pressure on you here, Mr. Communication. Let's see you get out of this jam right here.
The second one's going to be hard. The first one, it's so many great athletes in the SEC.
Yeah, and just who's that guy that you're like, damn, I didn't realize he was that. Like, who's the guy that pops in your brain right away? Yeah, I mean, the SEC, it's crazy.
I would say from quarterback-wise, I would say Matt Corral. And that's from my freshman year to my sophomore year. We could not get him on the ground.
He's quick as hell, right?
Quick, can move out the pocket.
Quick release.
Really well. Yes, everything. The offense they ran, it was perfect for him. Like,
right.
Wasn't there, I'm going, like, I'm out. But from that standpoint, he was. And then best player on my team.
Yeah, this is a tough one right here because you're gonna make some enemies. You're going to have guys not like you after this question. I
just want to say all of those guys are great, but the person I'm going to say is because I tried to emulate what he did. He taught me a lot, and he probably don't even know, but I would say Devontae Smith. I say that because I seen the way he came to work every day.
Right.
And I'm not saying all the other guys didn't work, but waking up as a freshman early in the morning, going to get, like, workout and stuff like that, he was already there in the training room getting treatment.
Right.
And that's I put that into my game.
Made an impression on
you. And I was like, oh, everything he's doing, and look where it turned out for him.
Yeah.
So everything he was doing, I did that for, like, the rest of my career.
That's cool, man.
Who's
cool.
The quarterback you can't wait to put on the ground?
Ooh. That's a good question. That's a good question. Whoever we play against, I'm going to be looking forward to doing
all of them. All of them.
You got a guy that you kind of model your game after? Like, who's your favorite pass rusher in football?
Yeah, right now, Nick Bosa.
Bosa.
Because I kind of like the bull swipe, the forklift, all that, using your hands, getting blockers off you, such and that. So that's kind of what I like try to put in my game.
See, that's where you know he's from Alabama and he's a little more advanced. He's got already the names of the moves down where, you know, we talk to other defensive ends and they're like, I'm still learning pass rush moves and stuff, and you got – the forklift, what was the other one?
Bull swipe.
The bull swipe. Yeah. Okay, so Bosa is your guy. That's a good one to have, you know, be your guy. He's the man right now.
Who's the guy at the college level, opponent-wise, that gave you the hardest time?
I would say this year, the tackle from Tennessee, Darnell Wright, he was really good, especially from my sophomore year to my junior year. I feel like he had took his game to another level. And, you know, I think that's what you have to do in the SEC. You know, you're going against a lot of great talent each year, a lot of great players, no matter if you're on the offensive side or defensive side. You know, you got to be ready because all those guys are going to be good. But he really did a really fantastic job this year.
You working out this weekend?
Oh, yes, sir. I am.
You can do it all?
Most of it, yes, sir.
All right. You got any expectations you want to throw out there to us? Like 40 numbers, whatever? You
done? Oh, no. My agent would kill me right
kill
now.
You?
But I will let you guys see when the times come. But, you know, just been preparing myself and working hard and, you know, having all the guys by my side has been great.
You seem like you said Nick Bosa, but I feel like, you know, again, I haven't studied you on tape, but watching college, you could be like also like a Micah Parsons type of guy that could be like a stand-up linebacker, go chase the ball sideline to sideline, and then, hey, third down, rush the passer.
Yeah.
You're open to anything?
I'm open to anything.
You are.
That's what football is about, embracing the change, embracing the challenge, and, you know, accepting it and going to work with it.
Yeah.
Back-to-back Nagurski Trophy winner. Where do you keep those?
I have one back at home in Alabama, and then I think the other one is back at home with my parents.
All right, what's the biggest thing you're going to do, you know, or need to work on here? Just getting ready for the NFL where you go, I got to take this little aspect of my game to the next level.
Yeah, most definitely working in space, playing in space, making sure that I'm still understanding pass drops, coverages, and stuff like that.
That's breaking down, yeah. Tackling people in space that way.
Yeah, so that's one of the biggest things I want to improve in my game.
All right, cool.
One of the things we've been asking, guys, give me the tape that you want people to look at as the most reflective of who you are.
Like the game?
Or? Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say this year, Texas A&M. That game, we really got at them from a pass rush stance, from a technique stance, just showing the ability to get to the quarterback and affect the quarterback.
I was a proponent of like, wait, we're going to put TCU in over Alabama, okay? I was like, I played in the Big 12. I played at Texas. It wasn't like that in early 2000s, but now it's a 7-on-7 conference. I mean, that had to hurt you. Were you surprised? Did you think you still had a chance maybe when you saw TCU lose the Big 12 championship?
Honest to God, me and Bryce were texting back and forth like, it's our time, bro. Right. We're finna get the team together, finna have a meeting on Sunday, get these guys going, like,
we're
gonna
get
our time.
Yeah.
And then they came out with it, and he was like, bro, but me and Bryce still just wanted to keep that leadership going and, like, come on, we still got something to prove. Like, we still can show, like, why we deserve to be in that position and go out there and beat Kansas State.
Yeah, a lot of times when you get a disappointment like that, the team comes out flat.
Right. Mm-hmm. Kind of packed.
Because they're upset.
Pack it in,
This
isn't where we wanted to be.
Right.
Yeah, you guys whooped Kansas State there. no doubt about it.
You strike me as a guy who's ready to go in and just lead in the locker room from day one. What are you going to, like, hang back and get comfortable first, or are you just going to go in and try to take over?
Well, no, I don't think that's the right way to approach it. I think first you have to earn the respect of all the veterans in there, all the older guys, all the guys that have already put in the time that have been there. And when you earn the respect of those guys, then you can start, you know, connecting with people, seeing why they play football, you know, seeing their reason why they're doing everything. And then you go from a leader standpoint of trying to uphold the standard, trying to uphold the culture there and making sure that everything is right. But for me, first, I have to make sure I'm doing everything right. I'm living up to, you know, everything that I said I wanted to do for myself and earning the respect for my teammates and my coaches.
The first guy in, last guy out.
Guy's a pro.
Grind.
He's a pro. He's
got you're going to do well.
You got the approach. All right, so one last thing for me. I know you got better things to do here. But Bryce Young, just give us a feel for him and what you saw over the years and what impressed you about him.
Yeah, so for most athletes that go to Alabama, you know, he didn't start his freshman year.
Right.
And he could have did a lot of things, but I watched Bryce every day as I was in my own lane. And me and Bryce were very close. We had classes together, everything. He stayed true to himself. He worked hard every day. He was so eager to learn. And then once he got that opportunity his sophomore year, nothing changed. He's a great guy, great competitor. Great teammate, great brother. I love the man to death, and I love playing with him. I'm super excited for him.
Who will be the number one pick? Willie Anderson, the pass rusher, or Bryce Young, the quarterback?
Well, this guy definitely has the Nick Saban seal of approval, which means something. Will Anderson Jr., thanks for some of your time. We wish you all the best. Can't wait to see your NFL career blossom.
Don't
steal our jobs when you get done with the career.
I won't.
I'm trying to steer the coaching. Get your own job, all right?
Thank you.
Stay out of my lane. See you, man.
All right, we got some big dudes here today.
Big effort day. Continues. Big effort
it's
day
great.
Right
Let
here.
Let me tell you, this is Tyree Wilson, Texas Tech's edge rusher. It's great to have guys bigger than him. I got to deal with this guy all the time. It's nice to have some. No, see.
Somebody with a big ego.
Yeah, I need somebody to Texas take care Longhorns. Of him for me because I can't.
I got you.
Are you saying I got a big ego just because I went to the Texas Longhorns? That's what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I like it. He's talking crap. He already looks like a natural in the NFL.
What time did the alarm go off for you this morning?
About 6:40.
Wow.
Yeah. Experience been cool so far?
It has been cool. It's been everything.
It's a lot, right?
A lot to soak in.
Yeah, I got that. All right. So, first off, how did you end up at Texas Tech? I know you went to Texas A&M originally, transferred. Kind of give us the shakedown on what happened there.
You know, I felt like A&M wasn't for me. Got in transfer portal right before COVID hit. Built a relationship with, Paul Randolph, the D-line coach, and, Coach Wells, and kept going out through all the COVID to summer. And, relationships were a big thing at my second school. So, I had to be patient with the process and, I built great relationships, went there and, they developed me. Coach McGuire came in after, that staff sadly got fired and, took it to another level.
Yeah. When did you have a feel like, okay, When did you go to that another level where you were like, oh, wait, I got a chance to be like, you know, we always wanted to ask you guys this, like, I got a chance to be a first rounder or a big time player. Like, when did that kind of pop in your mind?
No, I always knew I could, you know, be a good football player. But, you know, that next level, I felt like I took, you know, the end of last year. When I saw I could be dominant and, you know, stop the run and, you know, affect the pass.
Sure, sure.
And then I just, you know, took that momentum and took it into this year. And, you know, I'm continuing to build on that.
Yeah, you built on it all right.
I see you were born in a place I've always wanted to visit, Anchorage, Alaska. How long did you live there?
You know, I lived there 2 years. I was very young. I moved to Texas in 2002. But I still have family there, and I go back and visit.
Have you been there when it's, like, not nighttime at all, like in the summertime?
Yes, that's, you know, I only go in the summertime, not really.
That's wild.
And there's no, yeah, what is it, like an hour of darkness, 2 hours of darkness?
The sunlight goes down a little bit, but it's not all the way down. And right. It's just nice, you know, you can always go outside and feel like it's, you know, morning time.
You don't have any problem sleeping in that or anything?
No, you gotta cover the window so you can just
black, sleep. Black yes. it out, yes. black it out. All right, so, but like, first off, I knew you were going to be big, but damn your arms. Everybody told me about your arms. First off, they're thick as hell, and then the length. I mean, what are we talking about lengthwise here as far as?
I say my arms are over 35 inches.
They're 35 inches, yes. Which is just going to, NFL teams are going to absolutely love.
Yes.
I mean, that's usually the measurables of a guy like at pick number one. Number one pick, an important thing for you?
No, it's not. You know, just getting to a team and, you know, regardless, you know, of the program, you just want to help develop that and get to that end goal, which is the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Who in the NFL now do you try to maybe emulate or pattern yourself after?
You know, it's a lot of great pass rushers in the league, but, you know, Myles Garrett is doing that at a really high level, and, you know, he tries to get double teamed a lot. J.J. Watt, who's retired now, you know, he's a versatile player, that which I see myself, you know, be able to play inside and outside and be able to affect the quarterback and the run in and out. And also, you know, Von Miller, because, you know, he's a vet and he's great
all-time
on the
great.
Yeah,
on
great
the
on the edge.
Right, yes. Right. Well, so what, like, one area of your game that you're going, you know, I think I got to improve this. I mean, we know you're the man and you got it all, but, like, you know, you're going to the NFL. What's that one spot you look at to go, I got to get a little better this, you know, in the
you
meantime?
Know, the one spot I think I should, you know, can improve on and will improve on is, you know, playing with the length I got, playing with the arms and, you know, locking people out and just being, you know.
Knowing how to use your hands and arms better. Yes. And then what do you do? Like, explain to the people, like, kind of what you do in the process. You getting into, like, hand-to-hand combat type of stuff now?
I mean, yes, you got a lot of pass rush teachers, you know, that are, you know, successful and can be able to take that game to the next level.
Right.
And where you want it to be.
Yeah.
Not working out this week, foot still recovering. How's all that coming along?
You know, foot's healthy. You know, I could run if I wanted to. But, you know, I'm competitive and I want the best numbers. So I think I'm going to do everything at Pro Day.
Yeah, wait it out. Yes. I mean, make sure you're 100%. I mean, you know, I don't want to put you on the spot, but, you know, I know you're kind of a freak of nature here. What do you think, like, 40-wise? Like,
you know, if a lot of people say 4.8, that's, you know, I'm way faster.
I know you are.
You know, 4.5, 4.6.
You're looking for that kind of number.
Vertical, you know, 35, 36.
Yeah, right.
You know, broad jump, about 10. And shuttle, I don't know those numbers.
Yeah, right. What about bench with those long-ass arms you got?
You know, I plan on getting 27 to 28.
Ooh, that'd be big time with those things right there. All right. I like it. I like it. You're putting yourself out there, even though you're not working out. I really respect that. I really do.
Who's the guy when you are suited up in an NFL uniform, you're standing out there on the field, and you see him out there, you're going to say, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm on the same field as this guy.
You see, you know, playing defensive line, you know, you look at the tackles playing the edge, and, you know, another fellow East Texas dude is Trent Williams. And, you know, be able to go against him and, you know, him being from East Texas and being a legend, you know, that'd be one.
And a Sooner.
Dude. Yes.
You got to get him.
Got to.
I forgot what I was going to – oh, this is what I want to ask you. I mean, are you, like, buddies with Patrick Mahomes or what? Like, what the hell? Damn, you're big.
He follows
time.
You on Twitter. He doesn't follow me on Twitter. He follows you on Twitter.
No, me and, you know, Pat's from East Texas also. Right. With Texas Tech. You know, it's just, you know, I got to get to be able to, you know him. I haven't been able to, like, you know, actually sit down and, you know,
never,
talk.
Have you met him yet?
Yes, I've met him multiple times.
But didn't get to hang out and talk to him yet.
Yes. But, you know, I plan on doing that in the future.
Right.
One thing he's never done is changed. In all the years in the NFL, the success, the fame, the money, he's still the same kid that he was when we talked to him 6 years ago, and that's a testament to him. And it's I think he probably influences his teammates to be the same way. Would you rather be his teammate at the NFL level, or would you rather be chasing him around when he's doing all that crazy stuff trying to sack him?
You know, that's a hard question.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, he's a great teammate. I feel like,
like in a Super Bowl, huh?
I feel like he would, going against him every day in practice would take my game to another level. There you go. You know, I'll probably be his teammate.
Can't sack him in practice, though. Yeah. Can't touch him, you get in trouble.
You know, he'll feel your presence.
Feel
my presence.
Yeah.
Him being a mobile quarterback and being a great quarterback, I feel like it'd take my game to another level.
What, off of what he kind of said there, like college, who's the best player you played against? Or, you know, it doesn't even have to be a tackle. Who was a guy that kind of just jumped out to you in your years where you just went, oh, my gosh, I couldn't get over how good that guy was.
You know, Bijan Robinson was.
Hook of horns.
I mean, lead the horns out of it, but he was a solid running back for sure.
Yeah. I haven't seen him in person or anything yet. Explain, you know, what he is as a player.
I mean, he's a good running back. Has, you know, great body balance. He can catch the ball out the backfield, down the field, and he's an explosive back. Through the outside or through the middle.
Yeah. Was he bigger than you thought he was? You thought he was going to be? I haven't seen him in person yet, so I haven't got the size of him.
I mean, he wasn't bigger than what I thought he would be. He's a solid back for sure.
Yeah.
Which of your game tapes do you think best shows what you can do at the next level?
I would say NC State or TCU, just being dominant, just affecting the game, run our pass. Like, that's what I want to do at the next level.
Other side of the coin, is there any game tape out there that you just don't look at that one? That's really not who I am.
I mean, there's some games you play bad on, but it's not just bad enough where I don't want you to turn on the tape.
Yeah. Well, we all have those games. There's no doubt about it. All right. So you feel? I mean, we know you're a pass rusher, DN. If you got drafted by like a 3-4 team, played outside linebacker, you think you could do some of that as well?
Yes. You know, I'm comfortable, you know, standing up and dropping the coverage.
Yeah.
And also, you know, have my hand on the ground and playing inside or outside.
Who was your team growing up?
Who was my team in
the
NFL?
Like who'd you root for?
You know, my family loved the Cowboys, but I was a big Saints guy.
Okay.
Love the Saints.
Wow, how'd that happen?
You know, I love, you know, Drew Brees and Alvin Kamara and all those guys.
So that was your squad. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Got to enjoy a Super Bowl win, unlike the Cowboys.
Yeah.
So you're able to stick that in their face a little bit.
Yep.
Do you have, like, and I know that you guys are conditioned to say, hey, whoever takes me, I go where I go, but do you have a short list of where you're kind of secretly hoping you end up?
No, I mean, I haven't.
Yeah, you do. I can tell by looking at your face.
That was a smile. But I'm going to say the right thing here.
I just hope it's a great organization, which they all are, and.
No. When they're young and naive, they're not all great organizations.
I mean, I feel like the ones that, you know, I could go to great organizations. And,
well, you make them greater. How about that?
I will, for sure.
You've heard a comp, like, you know, as far as, like, people, you know, these scouts like to compare you to, like, there's one to you that has made sense so far?
No, you know, I feel like they haven't really compared me because I'm different than a lot of players.
Yeah. All right. I like it. I like your swag, man.
Yes.
All right, not bad for a Texas Tech Red Raider.
I wish you were still playing so he could sack you.
I wish I wasn't.
There's 20 bucks in it if you just take him out. He fell off the stage at the Super Bowl. Just knock him off. Do it for fall. Okay, I got more. We can negotiate off air. Yeah. Tyree, we wish you all the best. Thanks so much for some of your time. Enjoy the scouting combine experience and all the best in the NFL. We can't wait to see you playing at the next level.
Yeah, good luck.
There he is. Tyree Wilson.
All right.
Thank you, buddy.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.